physics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this August the 20th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone, still August the 19th on the West Coast. And everywhere else around the world, I guess it's August 20th. Welcome to all the folks that are listening to us on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, as well as on blogtalkradio.com. I've had quite a bit to do lately, a lot of research, helping some folks out, trying to connect some dots on a few different stories, and in the process of stepping back from that a moment earlier today, something dawned on me that we must really be agitating and upsetting the Illuminati, those that want to have a new world order, because there's so much truth coming out, and they've got to keep revamping the stories, and it's getting quite ridiculous, the amateur level of deception that's being used to occupy people. I kind of wish people would kind of look toward the truth. It's being shown in a variety of places, and it's quite apparent, but they keep getting caught up in dialectical arguments and more deception and more deception. And, of course, the mainstream media is not helping it at all. And I was thinking about all the money that is invested in the mind control and the brainwashing of the American public, and I suppose that includes people all around the world. Billions and trillions of dollars are spent on that, and it's starting to not have the same effect. And it's getting quite interesting. What does that have to do with tonight's show? Well, tonight's guest happens to be my publisher and editor at the Idaho Observer. He himself is a journalist. He himself, along with his wife, have been studying this vaccination issue over a very broad spectrum, all aspects of vaccinations for quite some time. This is not a new thing for him or her, and they've devoted their lives to networking with people and bringing the truth out as best they can. Of course, when we're all being lied to, the truth is hiding under a rock or, as we often say, down a rabbit hole. And we're going to bring some of that out tonight, some of the truth, and they're going to have to create more reality shows for TV. What else can they do? Tonight's guest, again, is Mr. Don Harkins. Don, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Hey, well, thank you very much for having me back again, Don.
My pleasure. We had to pull a switcheroo last night, and we had Drew Raines substitute for you, and he spoke very highly of you and Ingrid, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
He has great admiration for the work you're doing.
Well, yes, we were a little unavailable yesterday evening. I think we were about as buried in North Idaho as a couple of people could possibly be, but we emerged after a couple of days, completely cut off from the outside world. And in fact, I'm just booting up my computer now for the first time since Sunday morning, and I have no idea what's been going on in the world because I've been in the natural world for the last 4 days. And I got to admit, it was really quite a departure from the wall-to-wall fiction that we're involved in today.
Mm-hmm. I suspected that would be the case. Once in a while on the show, we talk about nature and what happens if you expose yourself to nature, if you commune with nature. It changes your vibration and it gives you a different perspective of what's going on. And I suppose even returning home where you live, which is a far cry from being, let's say, in New York City or Los Angeles.
I would say it's 180 degrees in its own right.
Yeah, it still has to be a different vibe from what you experienced the last couple of days. Would you agree with that?
Well, it's really something, actually. Every now and then here in our place on the sticks here in North Idaho if we decide to abandon the computers and leave the phone and just walk around our place and work outside doing the things that is required when you have a, you know, 5-acre piece of ground. You can get a taste of that, but when you hike in one of the most beautiful canyon lands in the country for several hours and ascend about, I don't know, 25 or 3,000 feet in the process, and then when you arrive, you're at a place that has no electricity, no phone, no computer access, no radio even, and you are completely cut off, then you are in a completely different world, because what you're doing is exactly as real or exactly as consumptive of your thoughts and your body as being here in the world, listening to the news, responding to it, making phone calls, reading email, answering email, and all the things that we do in this modern world. But instead, you're hopping across creeks and jumping on rocks and swimming in the cleanest water in the world. And it really does refresh one's perspective, and we do have a tendency to then kind of come back to earth in a very literal sense and realize that this world that we're in here, while it is all important and all consuming because the fictions that are running everything are leading this world, even that piece of heaven in the North Idaho wilderness is going to be impacted by what these people are doing. And so even though it was marvelous to disappear for a little while, and the gentleman who we were disappeared with has been that way for quite some time, we do realize that our job and our responsibilities are here. And, you know, I think more than anything, it gave us another perspective on what it is that we're attempting to protect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you. In fact, I foresee or I envision something like what you're describing everywhere. Of course, there's going to have to be one hell of a cleansing occurring across the planet for us to all experience that. But that is inevitable, I would venture to say.
Well, we are, with our present realities, on a collision course with the natural world. And I have my own, say, spiritual or philosophical views about that. But regardless of how you think about it, the moment we, say, stepped out of the garden and into the fiction or into the world where man is attempting to create a better paradise on earth than God gave him, then you've opened up a Pandora's box, and we're just happening to be the recipients of Pandora's box, open from every single possible angle, and the collision between the fiction and creation is certainly coming, and I honestly don't think the fiction is going to win.
Yeah, I'm of that opinion as well. There seems to be a tremendous effort to ramp up everything, as if that's going to keep us busy. But I'm finding that what's happening is this consciousness is expanding amongst those that we previously thought were asleep. More people are awakening. Now, there's this, you know, some people are awakening into patriotism 101 or government 101 or finance 101, religion 101. They're asking questions about God. They're asking questions about what they were taught from the Bible. They're asking questions about the Bible itself. They're asking questions about the U.S. Constitution, about how the money really works. They're coming to this rapid realization, and I'm presuming something here, but I'm also noticing that it's occurring, that people are on multiple levels or on multiple dimensions kind of getting a grasp that something is wrong. Okay, the average people out there are confronting their congressmen and their senators during this summer vacation, the summer break that they're on during the month of August, and they weren't prepared for the onslaught that they're getting. Now, is that all genuine? Some of it may be contrived for the purpose of destabilizing an organized effort. In other words, they throw their minions out there to cause these disruptions, where those that have been studying these issues know that they have to maintain their cool and they have a proper way of addressing public officials. Seems to be a lot of anger coming out, and I don't blame those that may genuinely be angry, but there seems to be sort of this infiltration. There's always that factor. Every time there's a movement toward awakening, they've got to have their minions in there to disrupt things, the agent provocateurs. From your perspective, all the people that you talk to, what are you hearing from the general public outside of those public venues that really don't get much press anyway?
Well, for sure. There was a time when I first began my opposition or dissident publishing career in 1995, and this is right after Ruby Ridge and Waco, and so people had this heightened sense of domestic terrorism. And so when you talk about the Federal Reserve or any of the various institutionally corrupt government agencies, people would just kind of cross their fingers in front of them and look at you as if, oh my God, you're one of them. And slowly but surely over time, people have become amenable at the grocery store, standing in line, or standing in line at the bank, or, you know, anywhere you would end up in public, talking about corruption in government, because it became quite obvious. And now we are definitely experiencing a new wave of people who are more severely pressed. Their lifestyles are more heavily impacted, and whatever they may have felt a couple of years back, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years back, is now hitting them right in the face. And so I do see a lot of people suddenly going, my gosh, it's time to write my congressman. Well, you know, I stopped, except every now and then just to irritate them. I stopped really doing that, expecting anything good to happen approximately 1 year after I began this stuff. I just decided I wasn't talking to criminals anymore. I'm reporting the stories of people who are being damaged by them. I don't need to hear the government side of the story. They're all liars. They're all corrupt. They're all criminals. Or they're the facilitators for organized criminal activity, and I just decided not to give them airtime anymore. And so I just started telling the stories of ordinary people. And now we've reached kind of a new stage, because we have an overthrown Republican regime that has been replaced by the hope noter. And now the hope gnosis seems to be wearing off, because all the things that he said he was going to do, particularly things like closing Guantanamo and ending the war in Iraq and all that stuff, is not really coming true. And not only that, all these other things are going badly. The bankers are getting more money. People are not having more access to credit. Not that that would actually be an answer, but that is what people are conditioned to believe would be an answer. And none of that stuff is happening. And so we're seeing a new level of angst really coming out of the American people, a level of I guess, discontent that I've never quite seen before. And as you mentioned, the freneticism that is surrounding everything, everything that was in motion when I began in 1995 seems to be on steroids at this time, whether it's the economic stuff, the trade stuff, the globalism stuff, I should say. And of course, the thing that we've been working on most ardently here lately, this mass vaccination plan with an experimental vaccine which will contain, even though they're not admitting it publicly, components of known toxicity and lethality. So we've got all these things happening, and into the mix is being sown disinformation on such a sophisticated and subtle and sometimes extremely overt level that it's really, really getting difficult to piece fact from fiction. Even as experienced as I am and you are in attempting to extrapolate the facts from a fictional base, it's really getting increasingly puzzling.
Yeah, you really mean that? There's disinformation? How could that be?
Well, okay, let me see. Let me rephrase that, Don. It's all information, and however we receive it and then incorporate it into our worldview would be dependent upon whether it's intended to disinform us or if we're just gullible morons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Now, you know, along this vaccine front and you know, this max... this massive vaccination program that's determined to necessary because we have this worldwide pandemic occurring, which was predicted. I mean, they can't predict if it's going to rain tomorrow, yet, or even today, but yet they can predict something like this. Of course, we all see through the facade. We see what it's about, and it's about big pharma making money, and it's about mass genocide. It's about taking over once and for all, because the methods that they thought they were going to be able to hoodwink us with and sort of just slip underneath our feet are not going to work. As I see this really not working, I really do, and my involvement has just been about a week and a half in this whole issue. It's been going on for months. I have stayed out of it intentionally, and I figured when I get into it, I'm going to look for some facts that I'm not hearing coming out. And I'm hearing reports. These things are all over the internet. Certain things have been published in newspapers, and rather than be influenced by what could definitely be disinformation, just to throw people off track and to recreate another set of dialectical arguments out there, I decided that I would go and look at these things and see what I could find of substance and look at the players, for example, who are involved in this. And I found some things that seem to disappear, disagree with what's being promoted out there. What the people are actually talking about has no substance when you see who the players are. The relationships are other than they appear to be. And so it makes everything look like another psyops to engage us in meaningless confrontation with each other and with the design of discrediting what true information is actually coming out from certain people who are expert at this sort of thing. And I think you get my meaning there. Any comment?
Yes, and it's really, I would have to say, to a large degree, even though I'm kind of used to it, I've gotten a little callous to it, I guess, over time. People that I could count on for quality information, suddenly one day something happens and I can't. And then all the other little subterfuges that come in, the personality conflicts that arise, and all of these things that frustrate our efforts to mount an effective response to all of the different things, which is really the one same thing that's mm-hmm. going on in the world today. And we can see, and I credit your research for that, really, in a lot of very subtle and not so subtle ways, is that we find that when we peer deeper into some of the names of some of the players, we find tentacles going farther and wider than we could ever imagine. And while I suppose many people could pass that off as coincidence or, oh, sure, just because he used to know so-and-so doesn't mean they're still friends today, or just because they're married doesn't mean that they are involved in the same things. And that's really naive at best, and it's also excusive, and it's an attempt for people to bury their head in the sand when we should be going, okay, well, if this person is connected to this person by marriage or blood or business association or college fraternity or skull and bones or whatever, yeah. then we really need to take a look at those individuals and use the public record to explore their activities. And when you begin doing that, the connections, to continue denying the connections is a head-in-the-sand tactic, because it's phenomenal that the connections are so blatant when you peer past what you've been told, do a little bit more digging, and then bring them forward. It's really quite astounding, and the rabbit holes go on forever, and it's really, again, disheartening to a degree to find that the conspiracy against us is so deep, and so many mandarins are stepping in line to destroy their country, their neighbors, and the people all over. It's just really sad. It really bothers me deeply about the people I share this planet with who are willing to trade honor and decency for a few bucks few crumbs that the elites throw out to them. It's just, it's pathetic.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you, and I suppose that in our efforts as truth seekers and truth tellers and messengers of the truth, I mean, that's what we attempt to do. And we are facing sort of a paradigm where we have the people that you just described who are basically in denial and maybe even just ignorant of what's going on. They're so involved in the ego-based reality that's been created for them that they could care less about anyone outside of them until they feel threatened, that they're going to lose those creature comforts, lose their entertainment, lose their fancy motor vehicle or their fancy house or their jewelry or things that most of us really don't place long-term value in when you can't eat them to survive or when they don't have any impact on the quality of your life other than glistening, you know, when light hits it. We're talking about what is real and not these illusory replacements that we've been sort of trained to seek, to expect as a measure of our success or as a measure of accomplishment, something that we can be looked up to as having acquired. And we know that we don't take those things with us when we leave this plane of existence, and yet we put so much value, and I say we, I'm saying in general, you know, we're taught to seek these things and to be almost rabid about how we acquire these things, material possessions I'm speaking of.
Well, that seems to be really enabled, too, by the fact that we have been taught for generation after generation to believe stuff that just ain't so. And, I mean, all these things, I mean, these mantras that we, you know, don't shoot till you see the whites of their eyes, George Washington, the cherry tree, Paul Revere's ride, 20 years ago. I mean, all these mantric things that form people's foundation of their understanding of the world, and even history, Columbus didn't actually discover America. For crying out loud, the Vikings were here centuries before that. I mean, there's so many things that we've been taught to believe are untrue that we go forward completely on a false premise of who and what we are. And I'm not here to discount, discredit, or question anybody's belief systems. I'm asking them to do that for themselves. If mm-hmm. you peer deeper, again, just adopting the model that you have into the names of the players at the time and just trace some of this back, you'll realize that many of the things that we've been told to swallow on the organized religion level is just about as nonsensical as Columbus discovering America. And it's time, I mean, it's vital to people to understand a little bit more about who they really are. And believe me, I don't have the answer to that, so don't ask me. But start getting to the bottom of this stuff and then realize that the material possessions, the rat race, the phony money system, and all of these things that we hold dear, and that are leaving us, by the way, because they're being stolen from us because they were never ours in the first place because of this phony system, we would all be better off. And when this thing falls apart, and it will, this fall, next fall, the fall after that, I have no idea, but when it does, there will be ashes, people will survive, and I hope, I pray that our children and our children's children will appreciate us for setting things up better this time so they can grow up in freedom instead of this toxic and this toxic servitude.
Mm-hmm. I'm inclined to agree. And, you know, when I was listening to you mention the Vikings, and of course, there's Americus Vespucci, what about the people who were living here? Didn't they discover America? I mean,
no,
they were here.
They were animals. They were savages. And it doesn't matter whether they are ticks or buffalo or deer or mice or rats, they're to be exterminated to make way for us.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way that is. I'm sorry, Don. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, well, that was the demise of the indigenous people who were here.
Well, which, by the way, I was very involved culturally in that regard this last several days as well.
Yes, and we also have, it seems, record that Chinese were here. Certainly, if we go back more into ancient history, the Japanese were here. There was an area of the United States known as Pan, and that's where the name Japan came from. In a more ancient history. But that aside, if we look just at our more modern history in the last 50 to 100 years, we've been lied to virtually about everything, about who the players are, about who the associations of these mega corporations are, who owns them, who reap the benefit of these companies, why these companies suddenly go bankrupt. You know, it's all smoke and mirrors and just a big charade, really. And yet so many fall prey to that because their consciousness is still locked in. I hate using this term, and I know people that hate me when I use it, but inside the box, you know, inside the matrix, this network that has been developed to manage us as if we're, you know, lab animals, or we're just slaves, and we're not even given the formal designation of a slave. You know, it has to be done in secret, because for us to learn the truth about this would create an uprising. And I think one is due, don't you? Of some sort.
Yes, one is due, but I see things being orchestrated now so that an uprising occurs on their terms, on their timetable, and in accordance with people's confusion over the complete nonsense of rules, regulations, and worldview that they've given us. So I'm happy with people to rise up, but it's bothering me to see that also is becoming a bit of a setup.
Yes, well, I agree. Now, uprising doesn't necessarily mean violence or a revolution. It can be an uprising in consciousness, can it?
Yes, it sure could.
You know, and that certainly would be something that they would not want to happen. Again, we go back to my opening statement about my thoughts today about how much money they invest in propaganda and mind control just through the mainstream media.
Money?
And well, you know, paper made from thin air. How's
credit.
That? Yes. And the effort that goes into controlling all of that, monitoring all of that, and designing it, and it's losing its impact. It's still affecting the majority that it's targeted for, but there are enough. I'm seeing more greater numbers of people who are awakening and realizing that there's something else there. Now, they don't necessarily have answers, so they look to those of us who have been talking about these things and researching these things and communicating our message to the masses. I mean, it's there for anybody that wants to hear it. We're not asking, like you said, we're not asking people to believe us. But we're demonstrating repeatedly that these things are true, that they're really going on. Have you ever seen such a controversy about where anyone is from as what we have going on right now?
Yeah, I suppose maybe researchers should have looked a little bit more deeply into where George Washington came from, for instance, or any of the founders for that matter. But for certain, there wasn't a lot of controversy there. What he did and when he was doing it at the time was a matter of record, at least to a loose degree. Journalism was perhaps better then, but it wasn't as rapid. And I think people were more educated. They were more astute politically because, let's face it, communities were the foundation of government then. Government wasn't the foundation of government at that time. And so I suppose all the way on up through a certain period in American history, we could kind of see that these guys were from where they said they were from. But, again, I think that if you went down the rabbit hole on just about any of those guys, you'd come up with just about the same stuff that you have with everybody else. But, for sure, this Obama character breaks the mold on that. There is, every time you look under another rock, you find another clue that takes you out of both Kenya and Hawaii. And it obviates any truth to the two people that are alleged to be his parents as actually being his parents, and it just completely destroys everything. So this has to be intentional too, because whoever was his handler throughout all of this, or handlers plural, could have created any baby they wanted, could have given him any name they wanted, could have given him any backstory and paper trail they wanted, but they chose this. They chose this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit like 9/11. 9/11 has got all these different rabbit holes and clues that go to nowhere, and yet we're not solving the problem because we can't get anywhere with it. And I believe that's intentional. Keep everybody distracted. I mean, a lot of really dedicated, marvelous, brilliant people have been researching 9/11 and the Obama citizenship mystery, and they find all the clues, they find all the evidence, and yet they hit a stone wall when it comes to getting anywhere in court or getting anywhere with a, quote, congressional investigation or any investigation at all. And so these guys sow this absolute nonsense into these stories and let everybody get all a Twitter about them, and then everything just falls flat because they drop an iron curtain right down in front of all of it, and it can't get anywhere. And until people rise up and call BS on what's going on.
Yeah, that leads us to summarize that what we're witnessing is just pure organized crime. The rule of law has collapsed in its intrinsic sense. I could probably go back to the early 1900s and say it began then. When the Federal Reserve was established and they took that power to create money away from the U.S. Treasury. The Treasury has just been nothing but a middleman, for international banking and the military-industrial complex that benefited from all the, worldwide wars that were created, whether they were world wars or wars that existed, in the Far East or in Africa or South America. It didn't matter where they occurred. They were all involved. They were all benefiting from that. And they always relied on bribing people to get what they wanted. And it's a shame that people that were put into place, and I mean, it becomes quite obvious that that's done intentionally. It's not an accident, you know. Well, let's see if we can bribe this guy. And then if we can, we can open up some central banks. I mean, the bribery occurred. That was easy. It was bringing their minions in that was also easy, under the guise of, people coming to America for a better life. You know, that was the cover story. And they would literally bring boatloads, thousands of people in, and they were all part of this whole network that they were building, secretly, you know, under the radar. And it goes so far, so deep, that most people can't comprehend the significance of what happened. I mean, that's what I found in my research. And I think you would agree with me that this is not something that just started occurring. It's been going on and on and on for probably since the beginning of this country.
I think pretty much since Babylon. I'm under the impression that really what has happened here is because of the way the mainstream media reports it and the way we're conditioned in government school and even parochial schools and private schools, it's the same curriculum fundamentally. People can argue with me, but we can talk about that another time. But the way people are educated in America today and the way the news is presented to them and the general media is presented to them, and that's not just today either. This is going back for centuries. people get this window, this picture, this feeling of history that really, really bad, omnipotent men, Hitler, Stalin, Idi Amin, Napoleon, these guys, Genghis Khan, Julius Caesar, these guys were omnipotent men who engaged a bunch of activities that caused rape, pillage, and plunder, and just havoc, and death, and destruction everywhere. And that people are just victims to this carnage, and there's nothing they can do. These events pop up out of a vacuum, and then people are just the victims of it, and there's nothing they can do. Well, if Caesar, Hitler, Idi Amin, Genghis Khan, if these guys didn't have support from millions of masses, ultimately, either through duplicity or by actively taking up arms against people and doing the raping, pillaging, and plundering, then people could have said, man, you are insane, and they could have put them behind bars in a straitjacket. They would have been considered nuts, you know? But
yeah.
Instead, we're told to feel like we're these perpetual victims, and I think that that's very, very intentional. If people understood the power of people standing for what's right, then they would have a little bit different take on life. And let's even take, for example, this current swine flu thing. Most people are educated to believe vaccines are good and viruses cause disease. But they can't tell you what a vaccine is, what's in it, or even what a virus is. They just know that they're horrible and they're deadly, they're all over the place and they're going to attack us, and the only way to deal with them is to inject vaccines into our body because it's medicine. And that, of course, is nonsense. Their belief system on the cause and effect here is so flawed that they are like lambs to the slaughter. And I see this coming in a huge way. The pharmaceutical company pandemic preparedness machinery is going forward on a level that nobody has ever seen before. And actually, if you take a look, however, at previous, quote, pandemics and even disease epidemics, what you will find in true history is that every global pandemic, which let's go ahead and say the 1918-1919 Spanish flu, the, quote, Spanish flu, the 1976 swine flu fiasco, a couple of other attempts at creating a pandemic with smallpox or bird flu or whatever, you find that they're self-limiting in nature, and they can be epidemic because, sure, immunologically challenged people in a given area can be infected with a contagion and they can get sick. And then, of course, the style of care that they get will either lessen the severity of the symptoms or increase them, and vaccines just increase them, and all the stuff that Western medicine does just increases the problem. It's not traditional health care, which addresses symptoms in a more logical and more effective way. So this all gets blown out of proportion. But what you find historically, and this is, I think, a very, very important point, and I would like everybody who's listening to go to pandemicfluonline.com. We're really, really trying to get a lot of material up there as information resources in the form of flyers and trifolds and stuff, media presentations, like PowerPoints and things like that, historical articles, contemporary articles, so people can get a full grasp. But the essence of it is that epidemics can happen. They can. People will get sick. It's happened ever since we've been little kids in school. A bug's going around in a class of 30 kids, 6 people get sick. Well, what happened to the other 24? We don't study why they didn't get sick. We very much concentrate on the ones that do. But they're self-limiting. It goes maybe from school to school in a town for a little while, and it burns itself out, and it's all over and done with. That's the nature of, I don't like calling them viruses because I don't think that's accurate, but that's the nature of illnesses, I guess. They're self-limiting in nature. Pandemics are always, and you can check me on this. I challenge anybody to check me on this. Pandemics are always vaccine-induced. Always. Always have been, always will be. So when they talk pandemic, they're talking about a vaccine delivery system. And people need to wise up, get educated, and resist. And I am deeply concerned. No, I'm about 90% certain that sometime this fall, sometime between mid-September and mid-October, because HHS Secretary has Kathleen Sebelius has been talking about it, the World Health Organization has been talking about it, the CDC has been talking about it, they're going to turn schools in this country into shot clinics. And one day, your kid's going to go to school, I'm suspecting on a Monday after they've had a weekend to retrofit the school to do it, and they're going to bop everybody in school before parents can say anything about it. That's what I'm certain about. They're going to carry the vaccine, they're going to carry the pandemic out to the world, beginning with children and pregnant women, the two demographics of people who should not ever get a flu shot in the first place. And these things are, they're not being forthcoming with what's going to be in them, although we know what's going to be in them because of the contracts that have been let on them. When you challenge them on it, they say no, and yet the money's already been paid out. They're going to have oil and water-based adjuvants and all of these things. And their adjuvants are there to heighten people's immune response. Actually, I don't have time to get into that. But these are so deadly that it kills early every single lab animal it's tried on. They get chronic illnesses, and then they die painfully. So this is what these horrible, horrible people are going to be doing to your kids. And a whole bunch of them are going to be moral busybodies carrying this thing out as mindless morons, and we've got to get to them. The nurses, the first responders, the police, the school administrators, we got to get to these people before they're used to do, really, commit about the worst public health disaster in world history. So sorry about the tirade, Don. I got a little windy there.
No, that's fine. We have a caller, but before I bring him on, I just want to make a point. Earlier this week, a couple of times, I reported a case that was brought to my attention in Dyersburg, Tennessee. This was a 12-year-old boy that went out for the football team. He was going to be the quarterback, so you're talking middle school age. The football players had to get vaccinations. These were DPAT and hepatitis
B.
I'm not.
Hep-B,
I think
probably.
It was B. Yeah.
Yeah.
But in any event, 4 hours after getting the shot, this young man became violently ill, very severe fever. The doctor that attended to him on an emergency basis said that he had contracted mononucleosis. Of course, he couldn't play football without the shot. Now he's not going to play all year. And he's had a very high fever for a whole week since getting that vaccination. We're not even talking about bird flu.
Right.
But this is the type of insanity that's going on. And I see it as criminal. What else can it be? I mean, it's assault.
Well, you know, Don, we don't know whether it was bird flu, pig flu, monkey flu, chicken flu, I don't know, donkey flu. We don't know. The recombinant filth that they are putting into vaccines, pulling stuff out of monkey tissues, jamming it into goats, pulling it out of there, sticking it into chicken eggs, pulling it out of there. I mean, it's just insane what these monsters have done. Whatever this stuff is, this recombinant glop that they're putting in vaccines, and also putting them through these animals that have been used for this kind of stuff over and over again, by the way.
Yes.
It's anybody's guess. Plus, they've always been experimenting on us with it, and their experimentation really began in earnest on about the 16th of this month.
Mm-hmm.
And so anything is possible. I think they're probably going to be giving a bunch of saline solution to people so they can give it a safe pass, and then they're going to give everybody the real thing later. But probably isolated pockets of people are going to be experimented on without their knowledge or consent. And it's entirely possible. These are madmen. It's entirely possible that he was given a vaccine that's not what they said it was. And actually, I don't see how any of them can be what they said it was anymore, because it's such a horrible cocktail of toxic poisons.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Don, let's take a call.
Sure.
If that's all right. David from Washington, welcome to Evident Footprints. Question or comment?
Yeah, a couple things. Good evening.
Good evening.
Don Harkin just mentioned that the shots are giving them maybe saline solutions. Well, what if people could be prompted to go and have their blood tested to see if they have any of the antigens after they receive the shot to see if they were truly given a viable vaccine, if you want to call it that, but you know, to test and see, and that way they'd know that it should be detectable.
Well, yes, I would say that would be true, except that who's going to be doing the testing? Would it be an independent lab? Most labs that would be considered independent of this research are co-opted in other ways, in other forms of experimentation or government contracts or whatever. And also, I think, and I agree with you, I think that if somebody is willing to be a guinea pig for this stuff, they ought to see if they can verify that what was put into them as vaccine A isn't exactly vaccine B. I think the problem is that most people who decide that they're willing to do that don't have a clue, don't ask any questions. And I don't know, Don, I'm not familiar with this particular story, but is the family itself or is the kid himself beginning to suspect that the vaccine had something to do with it, or are they believing that he just coincidentally developed mono?
Well, they tried convincing the mother that that this was mononucleosis and that that's just the result of him having been at football practice. Well, this shot was precursory to being able to attend football practice.
Right.
So they got their shots and they got their equipment is likely all that happened. I doubt if they got their shots and went out on the field and started playing.
Right. Well, most of them probably couldn't.
Yeah, the grandfather is definitely suspicious, and it was the grandfather that brought it to my attention.
Well, good. Okay, so now at this point, they really need to try to enlist some independent folks to help them puzzle this together. And if they, you can just tell them, have them call us tomorrow or the next day, and we'll see if we can't put them in touch with a couple of people to find out. Because one of the things that we also discover is whenever they decide that they're going to use some other excuse as a cover, they never even mention the possibility of the vaccine, which is always, always a sign that they already know that it was the vaccine.
Yes. Yes, I agree. David, another comment or question?
I'd like to go to another corner in this matrix that we're in and mention something. I heard a program last night. It's the late night biggie, and there was a doctor on there, very brilliant, Nassim Haramein. Have you heard of him?
No, I don't believe I have. What's
well,
his area of expertise?
Well, he was talking about, he's a physicist.
Okay.
And brilliant. It was a remarkable presentation he gave for 3 hours. I listened to it, but and it was very appealing, and I'm inclined to listen to what he said. You can find him on the internet off that website of that radio program.
Okay.
From last night, but he was talking about unified theory, tying together Newtonian and the small side into the big side, and it's all one thing now. Well, what he said, to my mind, being not a physicist, but following what he was saying, it was logical sounding, all right? Very persuasive. And he's won some awards and papers, and he's been doing this since he was 9. But I looked, I thought, now, this sounds kind of suspicious, and I'm curious, all this one-world thing, see, that they're trying, you know, like they're trying to do now. We're all one with the universe, maybe true. But that can be corrupted, though, that idea, the truth of it can be corrupted and mislead people. And I looked into the website and looked at some of the backers, people that are funding this thing, and one of them was the Waite family. You know, I think they're in California, W-A-I-T-T. And so I looked through. They had some links to what is our purpose and what are your requirements if you want to be a designated, if we want us to sponsor your work. And they laid out there very carefully what they expect. It's got, we're looking for profound changes. This is something that, to paraphrase it, we want to make profound impacts and changes on society and through various means. And we want somebody, we want people that are focused, they're well-educated, they're bright, and they're determined to succeed. Well, and then you're reading between the lines, as I've learned to do by listening to you guys and others that bring this to our attention. I'm saying, wait a minute, this looks, what are they talking about? We want profound social impact and economic impact and this sort of thing. So I think this physicist, I'm inclined to say, well, he's found something, but they've got a hold of him, and they want to use that because it's a very persuasive theory. And use it to guide people into the one world, and so they're finance. They want to hire people that will go along with the agenda, be forceful and energetic, and go to the end with it. So I just thought that maybe I'd like to mention that. Mm-hmm. His name is Haramein, Haramein. So it's just another. It's a big tool because you know it. The way I'm looking at it, I think that they're one world, and we're all one. Everything's one. And I can agree with that to along certain lines, that everything is connected. And he describes and explains very, very thoroughly and expertly exactly how his theory works. And he did, as I say, he won a special mention and an award at a science conference somewhere fairly recently. But this is kind of new stuff, but very interesting. I'm glad I stumbled on that program last night to hear him. But
well, David, when you take the word evil and put it in between one and world and then say we're one evil world, it paints a completely different picture, doesn't it? I mean, that's how I see what is, has taken the reins of this world and what direction mm-hmm. it's going. And I can tell you, in terms of the universe, we would not be invited into the United Galactic Federation on the basis of what's going on here right now. That's why we're not part of it. And it's beyond many people's understanding and belief system. So, you know, that's a whole show in and of itself. But I can make that blanket statement that the problems we have here, if this one world was such a great thing, why is everything so screwed up right now? You got the same mm-hmm. people running it.
it's the corrupted. They corrupt the truth of, 80% truth, 20% left out or lies. And people.
I think it's the other way around, really. But
I'll say, too, that it's unfortunate, but a lot of really brilliant people who spent a lot of time in school and have really great thinking minds are not beyond being, fascinated with, convinced to, courted into accepting money from somebody in the hopes that they will be able to help advance their work. Now, this gentleman mm-hmm. may even know that these guys' ideals are not in line with mine, but they're giving me money to advance my work, so I'm going to take it because I'm smarter than them. I'm going to use them to make the world a better place. I don't see into his heart, so I can't tell whether what Don said is true or what I said is true or what he says is true, but I guess we'll find out over time.
They will use him. That
seems to be pretty evident.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they do that with a lot of scientists. It seems if I go back about a year ago, there was all this talk of a Maitreya, this guy that Benjamin Cream in England was touting as the new Messiah. Benjamin Cream didn't mention Barack Obama, did he? Otherwise known as the long-legged Mac Daddy. And
Rockefeller, you mean, yeah.
Well, I'm saying Obama, the Rockefellers are there, and the Rothschilds and all the other Illuminati families at every step of the way. It's like you're looking at kind of a chameleon of sorts. You know, it's changing its spots, its colors, its stripes. The tail falls off. It grows a new one. It hides somewhere else. It just keeps resurfacing. And it's a different a flavor, different color every time, but it's always the same thing. It's always the same game, the same script.
Yep. Yeah, sure is.
Would you agree, or?
Oh, yes, I say it sure is. It's the same thing all the way, and they work hard at it. They never give up. They never give up. I've never seen such devotion to evil as what... It's incredible, but it's true.
Yeah. Well, David, thank you for your call. Appreciate you calling in, and glad you're listening.
I enjoyed very much speaking with you gentlemen tonight. And
well, yeah, thank you very much, David. It's good to hear from you.
Thank you. Good night, boy.
Okay, good night, David. Huh. Interesting. We have someone else. Go ahead, Don.
How about that? Another wrinkle, another face in the crowd, another thought to contend with. It's really, it is something. It's a magical universe. It's a very diverse universe. And man is overly complicated, I think, the universe, so that experts can figure everything out for us.
Yeah. You basically said what I was going to say. I often say that the truth doesn't need man's vote, you know, to exist. It is. And it's unchangeable. Now, one can attempt to mask the truth or put a veil in front of it, pass out the sunglasses, put them on, or the dark glasses, the rose-colored glasses, whatever phrase you want to use, blindfolds. But the truth has a way of coming through. And that is no more evident than in nature, you know, your opening remarks about what you experienced, because that is... the universe operating under its own system without man's interference. And so you can't help but be overwhelmed and in awe of what you experience, because everything just works like a perfect clock.
Oh, yeah, and even one of the things that happened, this the guy, and I didn't talk to him about talking about him tonight, so I'm just not going to mention his name, but last June 1st, I believe, maybe July 1st, there was a flash flood on the river that he lives very close to, and he and a couple of friends were there, and they were standing there, and all of a sudden they felt this rumbling, and then all of a sudden this tremendous gush of water, I mean, just almost as high as they were. They were about, say, six feet above the water line at that time. It's a very rocky, rocky river. And lots of big boulders, I mean, car-sized boulders and that kind of thing, down trees across it. It's magnificent. But all of a sudden, this big flash flood just gushed. There were some log dams up higher up that gave way, and they were on what became an island, and how they weren't smashed by these boulders and these big logs is just kind of a miracle. They even call it now Miracle Island, and it's not a very big island. It's, 8 feet wide and 20 feet long. But there they were. There were two trees in front of them that kind of protected them, and all this carnage was going on around them. And after about 8 minutes or 10 minutes or so, it all subsided, and they had to wait for the water level to come down. There were about two more pulses, so to speak, and then it all calmed down. The whole ordeal took about 20 minutes, and that entire landscape, which didn't even scathe them, which should have, because it was carnage to the left and carnage to the right, The whole area was dramatically, dramatically reshaped in about 20 minutes' time, and they all walked out of there alive. And so it's really something how dynamic that world is, and that old cliche, if a tree falls in the woods and no one hears it, did it make a sound? Well, three people, they heard some sound, but nobody else did, and look at how the world rearranged itself in 20 minutes' time.
Yeah.
That was just awesome story. I mean, and
well,
it was.
I was asked that question once in school, as we all were, and I responded, what if there was a tape recorder there recording it?
Well, we got a few minutes of it. it was intense. He didn't have really a tape recorder. He had a modern camera, and mm-hmm. unfortunately, most of the memory was chewed up with pictures. And so while it was going on, he was trying to shoot some film, and then he'd run out of memory, so he's, you know, radically trying to get rid of pictures he didn't need and then run it a little bit more, so it's not the most high-class video. But it gave you a sense of what was happening, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And they were in the middle. They found the path of protection.
Well,
right,
they just
there
happened to be at this place, just in the river, right? Like I said, there's these big boulders, and they were on a couple of them, and then this thing happened, and the world completely changed around. And actually, it was a bank at the time, and then they ended up on an island because it just washed channels deeper on either side of them, and the amount of debris that was dropped right on either side of them was just mega tonnage of automobile and bus-sized boulders.
Wow. Yeah. Did they ever find out what the cause was? Was it just
beaver
dam that maybe let go?
He knows the area really well. And what it was it was July. So in this, the rivers in this area are pretty pregnant and pretty full all the time. And always water's coming down. And so this is post-spring melt. And so there were several log and mud jams. And we had a particularly snowy winter in this region last year. And so there were a lot of, as the spring melt was coming down, upstream created were several different log and mud jams. And just over time, a couple of them gave way, and then that made a couple more give way, and then suddenly it was just this amount of water that had been held back just all of a sudden came down, just released.
Mm-hmm. I think the same thing is going to happen to the central banks in New York.
Yeah, and everybody that's dependent upon them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, Don, we're about out of time, but I want to give you the closing moments to let people know how to get in touch with you and Ingrid, to subscribe to the Idaho Observer, and to also share any information they may have pertaining to whatever they feel is important, I guess. Without
sure. No, we're at idaho-observer.com if you'd like to check out what we're doing. We are reader-supported. We're not advertiser-supported. We do take advertisers, but we don't call them. They call us, which is kind of it's a blessing and it's an honor, actually. And besides that, we, like I said earlier in the show, we are not very interested in talking to crooks. We want the stories of Americans, and we want their eyes and ears as they're on the ground looking at what's going on around them, and we just want them to report to us. And we just want to get a very accurate depiction of what's going on in America from Americans' point of views. And when we do report stories, we report them with suitable amounts of historical background data so that when they are about to form an opinion on a subject, they can do so in a qualified manner instead of this nonsensical manner that the media and government schools and the government wants you to believe, that things pop up out of a vacuum and all you can do is react as a victim. That's nonsense. People need to find their power, get educated. Also, again, highly recommend that you go to pandemicfluonline.com because that's the one-stop shop for the history of pandemic preparedness, pandemics themselves, the biochemistry that has been, and the virology that has been going on for about a century now to get us in this shape that we're in, and it will very much help you to make some quality decisions in the weeks and months ahead as this pandemic that is being foisted upon us begins building up steam.
Okay. Thank you very much for being on the show, Don. I want to let you know, in case you're interested in listening, as well as the listening audience, that my guest tomorrow night will be Joanne Kramer and Burke Elder Hale III. We're going to be talking about this same issue and also about a product called Bionade. And it's going to be a very interesting show. I will be talking about spiritual matters with Jim Murray on Friday, but I'm also going to be an afternoon guest on Born on the 4th of July on RBN with Dr. Andrew Ott.
Okay.
I'm going to be his special guest this Friday. So check the listings at RBN. I can tell you that it comes on from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 to 3 Central, noon to 2 o'clock Mountain Time, and 11 to 1 on the Pacific Coast.
Okay,
how's
you did that math really well.
Got to subtract one, subtract one, subtract a one, subtract one.
Got it.
Anyway, I got that mind, I guess. That's about
you know,
as
True's
deep
as
I get.
Drew's working with us on the pandemic online site, pandemic flu online site. His insight into what's going on from a historical perspective is invaluable, and the research that he's doing into contemporary events also is invaluable. So I definitely suggest your listeners tune in because they will get a very good advanced warning and become more comprehensive understanding of what's going on. And believe me, this is no joke. It's not a drill. This is really important.
Yes. Okay, Don, my best to Ingrid, too. Get you some rest, and look forward to your next appearance on Evident Footprints.
Very good, Don. Thanks again, and to all your listeners, have a marvelous morning.
Well, you just told them. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I was going to tell them.
All right. Take care.
Yeah,
folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and our special guest, Don Harkins, from the Idaho Observer. Check out the website, Idaho-Observer.com, or give them a call to sign up for a yearly subscription. And you can call them normal business hours on the West Coast, say 9 to 5. The number is area code 208-255-2307. And just tell them you want to sign up. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for carrying the show tonight, as well as blogtalkradio.com. Special thanks also to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Special shout out to all our members of the U.S. military around the world. Be safe. Come back home whole, and we look forward to seeing you soon. To the listening audience, thank you for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow night for another great show. In the meantime, I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.